This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is another Almost Famous Podcast. We're here to break down this week's episode, bring on some guests that were on the episode, but also we're here to hear from the wonderful Ashley Iaconetti.
So sweet of you, Ben. So sweet. How's your week been? Your book launch week. Are you so tired? Are you feeling proud?
I would love to say I'm feeling proud. I am proud of the book. There's a really weird emotion that I did not imagine. I was talking to one of our producers right before this that's happening. So like this book is very personal to me. I'm very proud of this book. I believe in this book. It took a lot of time to write. But a lot of the stuff in the book is meant for those out there who feel disconnected, isolated, alone. So I was pulling stories of others and pulling stories of myself. These are some things that I've never really shared before with anybody until I wrote the book. Well, now I talk about it all day, every day, and you almost have like an emotional hangover because these are things that like, you know, after you talk about it 8 times in a day, it's hard to like still pull out the emotion and passion of it. And so I'm tired, but I'm excited. But I'll leave this thought here. It's really weird, Ashley. I mean, a lot of people out here, I think, can relate. You have these like high moments in life, right? If, give it a vacation, give it like a family gathering, a holiday, maybe it's a promotion at work, whatever. And you're like, you have such big expectation for how it's going to feel and you're so excited for it. And then once it happens, it like, in a sense, lets you down. And that's how the books felt because like I've been so excited for it for years. It launches. But then like I don't like there's like it's just out there. Like I don't know what to do with it anymore. I just talk about it a lot, but like you don't know the sales and like not even that this book for me will be judged based on sales. I mean, I think I'll take a personal hit like with my ego if it doesn't sell well, but it's like no, now it's just gone. Like this thing that I held on to for 2 years is now no longer in my hands. And so it feels less of a high than I thought it would.
I understand completely. We'll talk about it more on Thursday night because you are going to talk about the book more. At least this time it'll be with friends because we're doing a virtual event. Tell people how they can join it.
This is a super big deal. So obviously the Almost Famous family and iHeartRadio have just been incredible to Ashley and I over the years. And we months ago planned this because we wanted to celebrate the launch of this book and the launch of this podcast. Not the launch. I mean, I guess the sustainability of this podcast and share some stuff that I haven't been able to talk about with the people that listen to this podcast. And so we're going to have a live event. We released a limited number of tickets to our live show that include a signed copy of my book. To buy, go to events.loopedlive.com/almostfamous. Those will be in the show notes. So just look it up and you'll see that if you didn't get it. A portion of the proceeds from this live event will go to Save Our Stages, which is through federal aid, is on the way. Until it comes, many neighborhood independent venues are still at risk of closing. That's just going to happen, and they'll close forever. So you can find info on how to help your local music scene at SaveOurStages.com, or just get a ticket to this event. That's helping out a lot. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to have some great guests on. We're going to dive into some questions that I think all of us could probably relate with right now, like how are you feeling? Where are you at? Who are you in the midst of this last year, in the midst of the chaos that has kind of came around us, the confusion? I'm really pumped for it. So please join us. It's going to be intimate, vulnerable, raw, but also a lot of fun.
We have something else very exciting on Thursday. I was asked on questions on Instagram this week, who's a guest that came on our show that I never thought would agree to it? It is this person, Juan Pablo. Juan Pablo did an in-depth with us. We recorded it last week. It is chock full of, well, blunt Juan Pablo-isms.
Yes.
He was as honest as he says that he was on the show. You guys are really good. It's going to be a really good listen. You're going to have a lot of opinions, I'm sure, but it will be dropping this Thursday. So make sure to look out for that. All right. Well, let's get to this week 6 of the Bachelor recap right after this break.
All right, we're back. Ashley, we got to break it down this week. It's going to be crazy. there's so much going on in Bachelor Nation right now. So many headlines, so many stories. As you know, as you just mentioned before the break, Juan Pablo is going to be on our podcast, and that's something we never thought would happen. And then we get to this week's episode. And again, I want to preface it with saying this. Last week, I was really happy with the episode. I think Matt James is just a good dude. Like, I just like him. I like watching him. I think I'm rooting for him. Like, I'm on his team. Maybe I'm just getting, like, to be critical as I get farther and farther, like, out of the show.
Yeah.
I feel like these episodes are falling short. Like, I feel like they're falling short. Well, let's dive into it. Because we're going to pull out some of the things that, like, and some of the reasons why we believe they're falling short right now. Well, the episode starts with the cliffhanger. Jacinya and MJ are together, meeting, talking, arguing. We get more arguments during this season than any other season I can remember. It's just not enjoyable, I guess, for me to watch because I don't know exactly what's going on. And also, when Matt sits down, and I'll pass it to you here in just a second, but when Matt sits down in the room with these two girls, there's just this look of exhaustion on his face. Like, I just felt like he was sitting in a room being like, this isn't at all what I want to spend my evening doing, nor do I understand what's going on here. But I just want this stuff to be done so that we can move on into, like, something healthy and, like, good for this season.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, something that I've thought many times throughout this season, kind of like, what's this fight actually over?
Yes.
Is it the fact that you guys don't jive? Is it the fact that MJ said, oh, I don't feel any tension or drama in the house to Matt? Is it over just something so, or is it over MJ being a bully? Is it a combination of all of this? Probably, but it's just like one of those confrontations that I just feel like the purpose of it or like the root of it is really vague, which makes me less interested
yes.
in the argument.
You hit yeah. it on okay, the great. Head. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just vague. And I mean, that's so, and then, yeah. I mean, okay, so we could go through like the bickering. I don't think it's helpful for the podcast. I don't think it's helpful for the show. They went back and forth for a bit. Matt sits down with each of them. MJ explains how she has a big heart and she's trying to show it to him. She's saying that she hasn't at all. She's trying to bring harmony to the house. So she's trying to do the exact opposite of what she's getting blamed for. Jacinya's saying, no, you've been a part of the problem. And then it pretty much, I mean, ends there. And this is the part that's even more confusing. Like MJ gets sent home and then Jacinya walks back with a rose, but we don't really know why she got her. I thought they were both going home, quite honestly.
I thought they were both going home too.
So
I thought it was
going
to be like Tayshia's season where he was going to be like, Jacinya, I'm not really 100% sure about you yet. Please go join the other girls and like I'll make up my decision later. I guess the fact he didn't do that because he just decided to cancel the cocktail party altogether, which is probably out of exhaustion and just being like, I know what I'm doing. I don't really feel a connection between him and Jacinya, which is why I was surprised that she got through so easily with that rose, but also because we see in the scenes from the next episode that she's around and looks like going on a one-on-one next week. So not only does she get through that rose ceremony, but she gets through the rose ceremony that we have a teaser, that we left on a cliffhanger on, and then she gets a one-on-one. So I don't know. I'm obviously like team Jacinya in this argument between her and MJ. MJ just seems like really rough around the edges and like I don't know if I can really trust her, but I also feel like Jacinya in a way was being like a little bit over dramatic about it.
Well,
right,
and yeah, I think you're right. I also, it goes back to the thing that we've seen for every season here though. Like, do you think, and you can answer me this, maybe when the girls are bringing up this kind of stuff and they're arguing, okay, when Jacinya's sitting in this room with MJ going, MJ, I think you've been a bully, and Jacinya's sitting there in that room at that point, does she think that is helpful for her relationship with Matt? Like, in her head, is she believing that by pursuing this, it is helping her relationship with Matt? Or is that an afterthought? Because in my opinion, from my experience on the show, it would just hurt my relationships if it was down to, like, in a sense, like, bickering back and forth on, I just don't like you, or I don't like, it doesn't seem to be helpful for any love story to be formed.
I think it's an afterthought because I think that if I'm just using my experience during The Bachelor with Kelsey being our villain, it was just like, this, I just can't stand this person so much that like, it's very important for me for them to be exposed.
But okay. But in a moment of honesty for you, like the number one reason you're there, let's say, okay, let's assume the number one reason you're there is to have a good experience, to have fun, to try something new. The second one is, could I possibly fall in love? Could I possibly make this work out? Like, is this something that like could be my love story in life? And we'll assume those are two reasons. Does any, if those are your two reasons, does having this kind of fight, and Ashley, you've been in this, was it helpful for either of those?
No, it's never going to be helpful. But that doesn't mean that like there's something in your soul that like must do it. I know that's not like the right answer, but it's
there's
the
no
real
right
answer.
Man, it's the honest yeah. answer. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Do you regret doing, okay, if you're in the same position, do you regret, would you do it over the same way you did it?
Yes.
You would.
And I would, yeah, I just would like articulate myself and not drink a whole bottle of champagne before.
Okay. Well, that's always a good idea. That always helps.
But you know, that's because like I wasn't meant to be with Chris.
Yeah.
And I feel like it may have been different if it was somebody that I know that like I really thought like this made sense. Like there was something that must have been there. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I understand. I understand where like that need to yeah. kind of, I don't want to say fight, but to argue is.
To bring it out, to bring it to the surface. Well,
yeah.
again, Jacinia stays, MJ goes home. And I think, I don't think it's going to be talked. I think MJ is going to get talked about a lot this week. I think it was a really big exit for Matt. I think he was really into MJ. I think he still was. And I think he saw, there must have been more to the story. Like, I think he was seeing the thread of kind of what Jacinia was saying coming through. I think it hurt him quite a bit to send MJ home.
I agree, but we didn't get to see that, which was unfortunate. But I felt like going into that date or whatever you want to call it, he had more of a connection with MJ.
I'll give you a little behind the scenes. When I was there on set, some of the people were like, they thought MJ was a front runner. Like they told me like this girl, yeah, this like MJ has like Matt likes her. So I was shocked to see her go home. I don't know how this season plays out and I don't know how each episode plays out. So I was watching it like, there's no way she goes home here because I knew, I mean, what? I was there 2 weeks before this. I was like, 2 weeks before this, he was head over heels for this girl. Like, he liked her a ton. So it makes sense on why then he cancels the cocktail party. He's tired. He's exhausted. He's over it. I mean, now at this point in time, we watch it like weeks, you know, once a week. This has been his life, an argument, dealing with arguments and confrontation now for 2 weeks. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's really over it. So he cancels the cocktail party and people are really upset. People are like in tears upset.
Yeah. Ryan was a latecomer and she was so upset. We see her not get a rose. She obviously was sensing that she needed that time to prove a connection. We see Serena get up in Katie's, not really get up in Katie's face, but, you know, start something with Katie saying that, you know, if she stopped bringing up all the toxicity in the house, then like all these time warp holes of drama, time sucking warp holes of drama, like the one between Jacinia and MJ would have been eliminated. And then therefore cocktail parties wouldn't get canceled and all that. But I don't know. I don't really agree with Serena there. I mean, I think Katie, we think that Katie's a good one. She's not bringing it up for like her own sake.
No, it's a little bit different. The confrontation with Katie and her bringing it up was back, you know, when she kind of brought up Victoria. The house was toxic. There was bullying going on. And Katie was like, Matt, like, this isn't healthy anymore. Like, I just want you to know that this in the house, like, needs to change and you need to know about it. I didn't have the, like, stomach-churning reaction to when Katie brought it up as when, like, other people have brought up confrontation. Now, I did have it, though, when Serena brought it up to Katie. I was like, don't do this again. I literally thought last week we were done with the drama. Then this happens this week right off the bat with the episode. And I'm like, Matt's already tired. And then as soon as Harrison walks out of the room, here we are back into another confrontation. And it was just like, don't start. Like, I don't want this to be another storyline.
I was checking out. I was getting so checked out. It was just one of those episodes where I found myself like pressing pause a ton, looking at my phone, just wasn't fully invested because it's just like, oh, again, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Now, I would say, I think I mentioned last week that I would think that maybe Serena had a point if Katie did like a little tattletale situation again.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She was pulling up like a past tattle. I don't like calling it a tattletale. I don't think she was a tattletale, but like for sake of simplicity. The last time Katie brought that up was a while back. So now Serena's just drudging up something again. And
And you have the awkward moment where then, well, it happens a little bit later on. We'll talk about it in a second. But I do have to mention this. This episode really fired me up. And you'll know why. For one reason. Not only the confrontation. Not only do I not get to see Matt shine, which I know he will and still can. And he's great. But my favorite went home. Maggie went home. We never got to see Maggie. We never got to see Maggie. She was like, I promise you, she has so much to offer. She was in that pumpkin when I was there, spinning around in circles, laughing for an hour at that pond.
I know, you love her.
I think she's the best. We never got to know her. And it's so, I really was excited to get to know her. It was really sad. But she went home as well as Ryan went home as
and
well.
Brittany.
And Brittany went home.
Can we talk about how weird it is that Brittany went home? This is like the third week in a row that we have somebody who who's had a lot of airtime, who's seemingly had a connection with Matt, and we see them go home without any further explanation. Matt doesn't pull them aside. First there was Kayla, then there was Lauren, and now there was Brittany. Brittany had a huge storyline over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
She's gone. Yeah, there's still girls there
that
we know nothing about, but yet the girls that we've actually started to like invest into and that I can actually say their names are going home. Like, this is making it really hard on me. Like, who's next? Chelsea? Like, are we going to send Chelsea home next week? And I'll be like, I don't get it anymore. Like, I'm invested in Chelsea's story. I like Chelsea. She's a sweetheart. But it feels like now Chelsea's storyline is going to be the one now that goes home next week.
I don't know, but who I really feel like might go home next week is Abigail.
Oh.
Because I'm looking at process of elimination here. And the fact that Abigail is going to go home after getting the first impression rose and never having a one-on-one and never really developing a storyline is super, super sad. Let's talk about that a little bit later in the episode when we get closer to that rose ceremony. Let's jump into the first one-on-one with Piper.
Yeah.
Cute date. They go to a fair. That's always fun. I always find like the fair date is a nice little icebreaker. You can't like be awkward with each other.
I had
while
one
riding rides.
We did one in Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah,
it was incredible. It was like so much
Amanda.
Fun. Yeah, with Amanda, the whole town came out. I mean, it was packed. It was fun. But this was super special because, you know, we've seen fireworks in the show and all that stuff. But like the fact that all of a sudden she walks into like a dark where it was a forest or something, and he turns on the lights and it lights up was
cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And then there's nothing really like monumental that happens there, but she does talk over dinner about something so, so sad. She says that like she has a really hard time being emotional and vulnerable. And that's because in her house, it's not really condoned to be emotional, and that her mom isn't the kind of mom who will like call and say like, hey, I'm proud of you. And that just made me so sad for her. And she was talking about how, of course, she wants to be in a relationship where she can feel comfortable finally expressing her emotions and like raising a family that does the same.
Yeah.
Was that sad?
No, it was sad. I think it was relatable to a lot of people. I think I found out over the last 2 years just how many people have either gotten too much reassurance from people, like, you know, or not at all. And it's sad because there's a disconnect there. I think though, and I hope that after Piper brings this up on national television, like that conversation can happen at home where she's like, I want you to tell me you're proud of me. Like I have people in my life that I know who have never been told by their father or mother that they love them. Like they just don't do it in their household.
It's so crazy.
You know, and like,
my mom grew up in.
Yeah.
It's like mind boggling to me because she did the exact opposite.
It's weird. But it, so it's relatable. I think it was a really great conversation. It was really special. But once again, as this beautiful date is happening, as we're relating and investing into this relationship, at breakoff points, Serena and Katie are back home fighting it out, yelling at each other in like a very aggressive way. The other girls are listening. Mm-hmm. Serena comes in with like mm-hmm. this kind of confiding in these friends, sits down, and she starts talking about her. Katie walks in on it, which is always one of the most awkward moments on the show. It happens often. It's one of the most awkward moments in life, yeah. right? Like we've probably done it in middle school or like, yeah. you know, you're talking about one of your friends and then they walk in, things get weird. But this is, again, Ashley, and I'm going to keep harping on it until it stops, I guess. I don't know. People are probably sick of it, of hearing it, but it's like, once again, these are adults acting like children, and they're, here's what my take on it. Serena is just starting another fire. Like, she's mad at Katie for the toxicity in the house. Yet, Serena walks in to add more toxicity to the situation by starting this fire amongst the girls. Now, I'm sure Katie, like, has her own, but, like, all we've seen is now Serena sitting down and starting to badmouth this situation. And it's, luckily, the girls, though, stand up and say, like, I don't see it this way.
Yeah. And can I just say that there's like no, again, no point to this because we see it at the rose ceremony and then we see it again here. But then before we know it, Katie's eliminated and this conflict is gone. And it's just like, okay, if it existed, then fine. But I don't think it needed to be part of the show because it has no consequence.
Yeah.
And It was to me just a non-interesting watch where I wish that those 10 minutes that it occupied was used to see the one-on-one time that Abigail and Matt or so-and-so and Matt would have had on this group date, which we're going to talk about in a second. Because the group date was bowling. Okay, let's get into it now. The group date was bowling. It was one of those things where it's like, whatever team wins is going to go have extra time with Matt tonight. And it was actually two small groups, so they were going to get like some good quality time. The group of four girls, the pink team, won, which sent the blue girls home. Then Harrison comes in and says, you know, Matt actually wants to invite you blue girls to the date, right? And then he says, hey girls, sorry, I had to invite the blue team because like, I just felt like we all deserve, like I want time with all of you, which I loved. But what was so weird is that in the episode, we don't get him. We don't see him having any one-on-one time with any of the blue team.
No.
What was that? I rewound it to make sure that I was right about this. And
there's nothing.
He invited them, but nothing. We know, like you and I know, that those girls probably, most likely, had time with him. But why wouldn't they choose to air that time? Because it's just odd.
It is. Well, okay, so right now we are harping on this episode. I get that, but here's the point. No, but here is the point to this whole thing. I think here's where the frustration lies, is we just don't know these women well enough yet. It's frustrating because we're 2 weeks away now after this week from hometowns. There's been a lot of arguments, very little like in-depth stories being like kind of pushed to where we understand where their relationship lies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at this point, other than maybe two or three, that I have any connection as a viewer with any of them. Like there's some seasons where somebody goes home and I'm like a little torn up about it. This season, if any of them went home, maybe other than Abigail, Rachel, or Britt, like I would be, or Bree, I would be like pretty distant from it. And I don't think that's right. Fair. But once again, okay, so here's the point in the show. So we'll pause it here and we'll talk about this. Through all this, there's a storyline going on where we're going to add one more person to the season. Heather Martin shows up to Nimacolin asking to be on the season to give it a shot. I'm a big Heather Martin fan. She's been on the podcast many times. But nothing against Heather. But it's like one more person now to come into this. We already have added. We had a huge group at the beginning. We've added more women back. Yeah. Then we're going to add one more here. Like, how are we ever going to keep these relationships moving forward when we always are taking a step back? And it's just odd. Like, it's weird to me that we continue to add people to this season when like the whole problem, I guess, with this season is not Matt James, is not really the contestants other than the bullying and the toxicity that I think we've now eliminated. It's the fact that there's just so many freaking people in and out of this house.
This was so silly. And one of those rare moments that it felt staged to me. When she pulls up in the white van, like the white minivan, and then Harrison's like, go back to your hotel and we'll think about it. When, like, you know she's staying there on campus. You know that she was quarantining before that minivan scene. And then she's, like, doing all these corny videos in her room. And she even admits, she's like, girl, she's like, I know I'm late, but, like, I still must meet Matt. I'm like, girl, you are so late that you are entering the week that I exited Chris Soules' season. Like, you, if the producers told me, yeah, you can come and join, but you have to join in week six, I'd be like, oh, no. Okay, never mind. No. I'll embarrass myself. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's wild to think about. It's true. All right, Ashley, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to break down Tyler Cameron's cameo on the episode, as well as Katie's date and then exit from the show, leading into then the bloopers for next week. Ashley, fans have been waiting to find out when Matt James is going to have Tyler Cameron on. Obviously, they're friends, and that's kind of how Matt got on the show, was because of Tyler's mom. So Tyler shows up this week for a little man chat, but then is also a part of Katie's one-on-one date.
And this did not disappoint. This was the part that had me laughing, that had me totally glued to the screen. Katie is going to go behind the scenes, right? Have a mic to an earpiece for a masseuse that is massaging Tyler. Unknowingly, Katie and Matt are watching Tyler get a massage, and they're leading the masseuse in this awful massage. And this is hilarious. This is the kind of date that is one, creative, and I love that we haven't seen something like this before. And two, actually kind of gets you to bond. Like, it really gets you to bond. And then just the fact that, you know, it's with a friend, that's fun. You have a little bit more, like, you feel more free in doing embarrassing things. I really love this date. And, you know, Tyler was a good sport.
He was. Yeah, it was, I like these, that was, the date was right. Good. You're right.
Yeah.
It bonded the Katie and Matt. It allowed them to sit in a room and kind of laugh and joke and pick on a friend and play a joke on him. I really loved, like, I love massages. It's my favorite thing.
I know.
I can't imagine having somebody, like, a masseuse in this, like, really nice spa all of a sudden take, like, a one of those, like, roll out things and, like, go against the back of my head. Like, that hurts. Like, that's not fun. I can't imagine what was going through Tyler's head. I wish there was a follow-up interview to that. Be like, what were you thinking when she was, like, one, like, playing with your nipples, which is a little weird. I don't know how, like, it's like, that was fine. I would feel pretty uncomfortable. But, like,
I would have gone further than that. I would have been like, go really low on his pelvis. Go really low. Go really high on his thigh.
Yeah.
I know they're keeping it PG.
But like, then the rolling board on the back of the head, like, that's when I've been like laying there, been like, this is the worst thing I've ever had experienced to me. And the fact that she was talking to him the whole time. That's my number one pet peeve with the massage. Anyways, okay.
Yeah.
So Katie and Matt have a great one-on-one date. I'm like, this thing's working. This is a good deal. But then they sit down.
Did you feel that?
I did.
Because I was like, this would have been a perfect date for somebody he had more chemistry with, less of a friend zone feel.
Yeah. Well, but we kind of find that out as the date continues. It's definitely more of a friend zone. Matt has a lot of great things to say about Katie, but she is sent home from the one-on-one. It's our first one-on-one exit. Is it our first this season?
Yes.
It's our first one-on-one exit this season. You know, not, my opinion is, not shocking, because I do think, like, it wasn't like this was a love story that we're like, yeah, they're going to be together forever. But anytime somebody goes home from a one-on-one, it's a little bit of a storyline, and Katie is sent home. Okay, so the end of the episode goes like this. Heather Martin does show up to the cocktail party. The girls all of a sudden are fired up, and it really, just starts to be highlighted in the previews, and the previews are the previews. We never know what those are referring to.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like this goes well for Heather.
No. So Heather does interrupt Piper's one-on-one time, which of course isn't going to go well, but what else is she going to do, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell that Matt knew Heather right off the bat because he starts laughing. And to be honest, like at this point, it really is like a hilarious joke that somebody else is entering this late in the game.
Yeah.
And that it's somebody that he knows, and he's dealing with it with a sense of humor, but like, you know, he's not going to keep her around. That's what I say. No, but like, I don't actually know. And then Heather, we got word, it's in our hot topics this week. But we'll talk about it right now, is that Matt did meet Heather prior to the season.
Yep.
But he had no relationship with her. So he knew her through Hannah. And, you know, as Heather says, she was really strongly recommended to go on the show because of Hannah.
I encourage everybody to go back, watch when Heather walks into the room to interrupt Matt, and Matt looks up. That's going to be a meme forever. His eyes are wide. His face is shocked. And he's like, son of a gun. Well, hey, Ashley, let's take a break here. That's been this week's episode. Let's rate it. A to F rating for this episode.
It's a C.
I'm going to go C minus. After last week's episode, I had big expectations for this week. I thought we were really going to see some stories start to build. We didn't. And as a result, it pretty disappointed me. And I think it might for a lot of Bachelor Nation. Matt James, once again, just continues to be consistent. Great. He's good at this, but I'm not. I like him as a human, and I think we could be friends. I'm not exactly invested into his love story right now, and I wanted to be. And I think a lot of that has to do with just how the controversies and the bullying and the, like, just arguing in the season's existed so far. Hey, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have Bachelor headlines. Ashley just mentioned this first headline, and so we're going to kind of skip over it. But Matt James did confirm that there was no relationship with Heather Martin before she crashed the Bachelor. I know a lot of people are going to be speculating that this week. But the next headline is referencing Matt James as well. His season's getting talked about in a lot of press. The headline reads this: Bachelor Matt James talks Rachel controversy and that Spotify-like. Did he spoil his season? This according to Entertainment.
Okay, well, first off, we'll address the Spotify like. So apparently he liked one of Rachel's playlists on Spotify, which makes people feel like perhaps he chooses her. But he said in this interview that I listened to that he apparently did some research on a lot of the girls' Spotify lists and liked and listened to multiple ones. And then as far as the controversy, Rachel, we know, has been an early front runner and an early favorite. But there are some allegations of her on social media for bullying in the past, about dating Black men, and for liking some photos that don't look so good on social media. And I just want to read to you what Matt has said about when questioned about all this. He said, "I have not really spoke to anybody since the show ended, but I would like to say that you have to be really careful about what you're doing on social media." He says, "Rumors are dark and nasty, and they can ruin people's lives. So I would give people the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully she will have some time to speak on that. There's a lot of stuff going around about the women who are involved in the show, and I would just give them a chance to kind of have their peace, whether that is someone who was gone night one or someone who went home this week. Everyone has a story, and I would just be receptive to that." So I think he just wants Rachel to address this on her own whenever she sees fit.
Well, we will follow that, and when she does address it, we'll be talking about it right here on Bachelor Headlines. Now, Rachel Lindsay, who has been outspoken about a lot of things. She hosts a show, and so she talks about stuff kind of quite often. Reacts to Dylan Barber, Jed Wyatt's Bachelor producer's accusations. "That's on you," she says, "if you felt manipulated." This goes into our next headline, because we'll compare the two here. Our next headline comes from Tayshia Adams, who came out and said that she felt very unedited on her season and is very proud of who she was. So, Ashley, taking both these headlines into consideration, how do we go through this?
Okay, well, first off, you guys may remember that last week Dylan was talking about some like really cryptic things. You know, he was tweeting saying that like that the producers don't care about people's mental health, that they're not looking out for the contestants. Then Jed, which is a close friend with him, said that he was going to drop a podcast talking about all the things that went down during his season that he felt manipulated by. Well, that never came out, and Dylan backtracked a little bit, thanking the franchise for the platform it's given him. And I feel like there must have been some intervening in there. So basically Rachel said, that's on you. If you felt like you fell for that type of scenario, I don't know if you're trying to get attention. I'm not sure if you're trying to excuse some of the decisions that you made, but we're all grown people. You made those decisions for whatever reason it is. Now don't go try and blame somebody else. And Tayshia, like in an indirect way, kind of backs up what Rachel's saying by saying that she was really proud of what she saw of herself. I can say with 100%, I do not feel edited like everyone says. I do not feel edited, or I didn't feel like they didn't show me. I definitely feel like that was me. She said, when I got upset, I got upset. I was having as much fun as it looked. She says that she's watching back some of the episodes with a full-on smile because it represented her so well, and she was so proud of herself.
So a bunch of differing opinions here. I do think everybody's experience on the show is different. I do think, though, in every situation in life, you have to take some ownership for the outcomes of things. So a lot of opinions being thrown around. It's kind of, it's interesting now for 2 weeks, we've been talking about, the editing and the producing of the show. It's always a topic we talk about, but right now it feels like it is in the headlines more than ever. Well, the final headline from this week is one that does come again from Rachel Lindsay. Rachel Lindsay is very upset with Dale Moss. And her quote is, Dale is making this about him.
Yeah,
he wants to be in the spotlight, Rachel says.
She says, I'm so disappointed by this breakup because I was down for Claire and Dale. I'm close with Claire. I love Claire. And I was so happy with Dale. She goes, and even when my husband Brian and I were with them, it seems like they were very happy with one another. And I know that there were all these rumors about Dale. And I think what's so disappointing is that meeting them, I wouldn't have assumed that those rumors could possibly be true. And the more that time goes by since the breakup, it seems like those rumors were true. She says, it seems like Dale is all about himself. It seems like he wants to be in the spotlight. I find it a big coincidence, maybe not so much of a coincidence that, I find it to be a big coincidence or maybe not so much of a coincidence that he keeps finding a way to a camera or to his Instagram lives.
Here's the thing. Rachel's friends with Claire, strong statements out of Rachel. I think here over time, this will fade off. But obviously, you know, we saw this week that Claire dyed her hair pink. We do see Dale, you know, on camera a lot. People are coming out in support and speaking out upon this thing. So, hey, I guess good for Rachel for sticking up for a friend. That's important, especially right now. All right, Ashley, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have some exciting new guests on the Almost Famous podcast.
All right, you guys, you saw them last night during Piper's date. They've been called by Huffington Post, CMT, Sounds Like Nashville, and The Taste of Country as one of the new top country artists. And they've earned praise from Carrie Underwood, Dan and Shay, and Brett Eldridge. That's a pretty big deal. Please welcome to the podcast, Temecula Road. Hey, guys.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic.
Doing really, really good.
Awesome. So you sang your song, Everything I Love, during Piper's one-on-one.
I couldn't have drawn up a better ending to a night. We have a private performance by Temecula Road. Just have Piper in my arms. I'm just looking at Piper. Piper's looking at me. Everything just feels right.
Everything I love, 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 love. Everything I love, 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 love.
Why did you choose that song?
I think it just was the perfect fit. I mean, we'd had this song for a couple years and we'd always really loved it and had our vocals on it. And it's been mastered for a long time. And when this opportunity came up, it just kind of, you know, it was like a label decision with us, also with the people at the Bastard, and just kind of all came together with this song.
Nice. Okay. So we have two sisters. We got Emma and Maddie, and then the group is also compromised of you, Dawson, and who's a lifelong friend of the girls. That's really fun. Did you enjoy your quarantine together? Were you allowed to quarantine together at the hotel? Are you in three separate rooms for 6 days?
We were in three separate rooms, actually.
Emma,
like right across the hall from each other. So we could like open our door and say what's up, but really far, so we didn't see him for like 5 days.
Did you at all?
It was like we were able to see each other a little bit, but in the beginning it was mandatory that we don't be with each other and we make sure that each of us tested negative on our own, so we weren't able to like do anything really except just stay. Well, we did a lot of FaceTimes. We FaceTimed each other. It's like, you're right over there, and like I'm sure you two could probably lean over your balconies. Could you guys lean over your balconies and talk, or no?
Well, our doors were right across from each other. So like once a day we would open the door and say like, hey, what's up? How's your day going? And then we would just shut the door. Or like we could hear each other's meals coming because they would knock on the door. So yeah.
Totally. That was the same with me when I was there. It was like, oh, they're getting food now. Maybe I should order food now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you, Maddie, are a huge Bachelor fan. How did it feel to be performing on the show? Was that surreal?
It was definitely kind of a fangirl moment. I am the biggest Bachelor fan, so I was so excited that we got the opportunity to play. And I actually had a lot more respect for the show after being there and seeing, like, how sweet the producers were and, like, how, like, serious and like amazing, like well put together it all was. It was really awesome.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Did you feel the chemistry between Piper and Matt? And was there anything that happened during that date that we didn't get to see?
I think you'll definitely see it, but they were just like making out like right in front of us, and it's like 2 feet away. So it's like you like don't want to look because you like don't want to laugh. But there's definitely a lot of chemistry.
And we got to talk to them afterwards, and they are both so sweet. Also, Matt is gigantic. He is so tall. And Piper is the sweetest person ever. Like, you can just tell she has a good heart.
Yeah.
You can
see the chemistry between them. And fun fact, too, he's from North Carolina. He's from Raleigh, which is where I was born, too. So him and I are both from the same home state, home city. And he went to Wake Forest, which is where my uncle actually works. So it's kind of a small world. Yeah, kind of a small world with them. But it was cool. At the end of it, like once we were done playing, they just kind of let the cameras roll. And then they just kept kissing so they could get a lot of good footage of them kissing. So that was the weirdest part, was when we were done singing, they were still like just going at it. And it was like one of those where we were just kind of like,
all right.
Yeah.
I mean,
they weren't even on us at all. But just being in that moment was fun. You won't see our reactions to that because like obviously that's for them to get good footage of them. But just like, if you would have been a fly on the wall in the room, it would have been, oh my gosh, it was so funny.
That is so odd. I never experienced them to ever be like, keep kissing more. That's what they told them? Or it was just like, oh, we're going to catch them kissing more?
They just kissing for a long time.
Yeah, they never keep going. They just, kind of like, let them do their thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It was firework for sure.
Did you get to speak with them at all afterward?
Yes.
So, took some pictures and talked about football, talked about how everybody's quarantine has been, how long they've been there. We got to chat for a little bit.
Did you gather anything from that conversation about like how Matt was feeling about all the chaos going down during his season?
I had no idea that there would be so much drama by how he acted.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
So well put together. Honestly, after we've been obviously watching every episode, and I would have never expected all of the chaos that's gone down by the way that he was acting with us.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. He carried himself so well that night in the room, and then watching the episodes, it's like he really has had to put up with a lot, you know, and like every bachelor does. It's a hard job. I can't imagine being able to do it. But yeah, he was really cool. And he was really sweet to her. And he said like, you know, she's a really sweet girl, and like we have a great connection. And he goes, I was so excited to pick her for this one-on-one. Like I knew this is what I knew I wanted it to be her to come on this date, which was really cool for us too, because it was like, hey, like, who knows if they end up together? You know, this is we were their first concert ever, so that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really nice to hear. You guys made your epic debut at the Ryman Auditorium, and you returned to the Grand Ole Opry stage on February 1st. Where can people check out your music? What do you recommend they listen to first?
Yes.
To get them hooked.
You can find our music on every music platform, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify. And obviously our newest single, Everything I Love, just came out. And that's the song that we performed on The Bachelor.
Yeah. And it's the best representation of us. You know, we grow so much and we've been releasing music for the last couple of years. And it's cool to see the journey where we've been, you know, kind of where we are now. But we love this song. We're really, really proud of it. Like I said earlier, you know, we've had it for a couple of years and just waiting for the right moment to release it. And this just felt like the right moment. Once we sang it, it was like, all right, we got to do this.
Oh, perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us and for bringing some live music to The Bachelor.
Oh, of course. We're so
absolutely
happy.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Ashley, for as much as this season's feeling like it's fallen short, I still have hope that the last few weeks of Matt James's seasons are going to be something we talk about forever. They're going to be incredible. In a sense, it kind of reminds me of Colton Underwood's season, right? Most of the Colton season, we're like, ah, this is just okay. And then it was the last few weeks that we really started to like invest into the contestants and invest into the show. It happens, so I'm not going to be shocked if like from hometown dates on, we really start to feel this thing. But until then, we're going to keep talking about it and sharing our honest opinion. It's been still a blast, Ashley, as always. It's good to be with you on the Almost Famous podcast.
Ditto, boy. And we'll see you guys on Thursday.
That's
Don't
right.
forget, the Juan Pablo episode drops, and we'll be doing a live, which you can still join. Yeah? No, they're sold out. But you can do meet and greet.
No, you can still join. There's still tickets available to join. Yeah,
is it unlimited?
Unlimited, you just no more free tickets. So the free tickets have been given now, but you can still buy tickets and join. Come hang out with us for a night. Talk about the book. Talk about life. Let's dive into it all together. Hey, with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.